You have your Bibles. I invite you to turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians in the 4th chapter. There will not be just one special passage this morning that will serve as our lesson text and the key verses. We'll be looking at a number of verses pertaining to the subject. And most of them will be on the screen, but one of the ones that we'll be looking at is 1 Thessalonians 4. And so if you wish, you can open your Bibles to that opening. While you're opening your Bibles, let me take just a moment to express my word of appreciation for the presence of each of you. We have visitors with us, and we're delighted, of course, that you're with us. It's always good that we can come together and worship and appreciate those that visit with us, and, of course, appreciate those that are with us at all times also. I hope that you find the services uplifting. I hope that you find them instructive in the way of the Lord and that will in and of itself uplift you. But I hope that the singing and the praying and the passing on of good news, like the baptism of the Lord, that all of those things will impact us and make us glad that we are able to be here and worship the Lord. Last week I mentioned a tract that I had read a number of years ago called The Day Christ Came Again. And I told you that it's the story of George Jones, not the country singer George Jones, but a milkman. And it's the story of him the day that Christ came again. Now it ends by saying this story is not true. It cannot be, of course, since Christ has not yet come. It is, however, based upon scriptural teaching and knowledge of natural reaction. It has been told to make you think. I want to talk with you again this morning, as we did last week, about the second coming of Christ. And I want us to look at some of the things that are mentioned in that tract, not from the tract, but from the scriptures themselves, and see what happens when Christ comes again. I want us to think for a moment about what sounds we will hear when Christ comes again, what we'll be able to see when Christ comes again, and what events will take place when Christ comes again. And what I want you to do is to constantly ask yourself, what will you experience when Christ comes again? Let me begin by just reminding you that there will be no special warnings when Christ comes again. And what I mean by that is that Christ is not going to sound some special warning to us to tell us that the day of Christ is near. He has told us in His Word that we have to be ready at all times. And He tells us, but of that day and hour know no one. Matthew 24 and verse 36. You are probably like me that you have heard people try and predict the day that Christ will come again. Some of them very adamant about their predictions. And some of them have even sold all their possessions and sought high places so that they can be one of the first ones that would meet Christ. But here's a passage that tells us that their attempt to try and tell us when Christ comes again is just an exercise in futility. That no man knows when Christ will come again. He tells us in the book of 1 Thessalonians in the 5th chapter, verse 2, "For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." And he would repeat that in 2 Peter 3 and verse 10, just telling us the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And what he means by that is that the thief doesn't tell us when he's coming. If he told us, we would make sure that we were ready. And it's not that the Lord is trying to trap us anyway, but he's just told us to be ready at all times. And when he comes, it'll be like a thief in the night, he says. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 3. Paul writes about Christ coming and says, it's when people say peace and safety that that's when He will come. in the book of Matthew in the 24th chapter in verse 44. Jesus says, "The Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect." You do not expect it, he said. May I remind you of one of the things that tract said? He said it wasn't just an ordinary day, it was a most ordinary day. The day that Christ came again. And that describes well the way it will be when Christ comes again. Matthew, the 24th chapter, speaks of the fact that there will be eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. In some of those passages, you see some people sleeping. In some of them, you see some people working. The point is that life will be going on just like it always has. And suddenly, Christ will come again. And I think that's a good word to use, and one that the Scriptures itself uses. That it talks about Christ coming sudden. That everything is going to be going on just like it always has when all of a sudden Christ comes. Now the question is, when Christ comes, what are we going to hear? What are we going to see? And I want us to begin with the sounds that we will hear when Christ comes again. And let me just give you three of them. You will hear the voice of the Lord. You will hear the voice of the archangel, and you will hear the trump of God. I say that because in the book of 1 Thessalonians, in the 4th chapter and verse 16, when Paul is addressing the subject of the coming of Christ, he said, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God." Three things that he mentions that will happen on that occasion. The voice of God, the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God. I have to tell you that there are some people who think that the voice of God or the voice of the Lord and the voice of the archangel are one and the same. That you want to hear the voice of God, not or of Christ, not literally his voice, but the voice of the archangel speaking for him. Barnes takes that position in his commentary. But there are others like Adam Clark and Jameson Fawcett Brown that say that no, they're distinct voices. And I believe that they're distinct voices. And I think that if this passage doesn't show us, then certainly John 5 and verse 28 and 29 would, when Jesus is talking about the Son of Man coming again and says, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the grave will hear his voice, the Son of God." And so people are going to hear the voice of the Son of God, the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to hear his voice. And I will tell you that it seemingly is a voice that will pierce to even the core of the earth. And that even, as we notice in John 5, even those who are dead will hear his voice and take notice of it. The voice of the archangel. I've never heard the voice of Jesus audibly, nor the voice of the archangel. But I have to tell you that I don't think there'll be a doubt in the world when we hear those that we understand that this is the voice of the Lord and this is the voice of the archangel. And then he says we're going to hear the trump of God. Back in the book of Exodus, in the 19th chapter, in verse 16, when Israel was about to assemble together and Moses was going to go up into the mountain, get the commandments, it speaks of the trump of God sounding. And that it was such that the whole mountain trembled, and they trembled out of fear. And you find in the book of Psalms, in the 47th chapter, in about verse 5, again, where he talks about the Lord will come and there'll be this trump of God, he says. It may just be that this is something associated with the God and his presence, that this trumpet of God sound. Or maybe it's like you see in some of the movies where royalty is coming and so the people whine and begin to blow the trumpet to announce his coming. Maybe that's what it's for. But there'll be a trumpet. And again, it's going to be loud and it's going to be distinct. And we're going to understand, I think, that when we hear that trumpet, that the coming of Christ has come. I have to tell you that I wonder if we'll hear the voices of men also. I wonder if we will hear, as this is transpiring, some people say, "Praise God, hallelujah, the day is here." And I think we might hear some moaning and groaning and muttering, saying, "I didn't think it would really happen." Or, "Don't let it happen yet. I'm not ready." And I would base that upon the fact that 2 Thessalonians 1 and 10 tells us that Christ will come to be admired of His saints. And in the book of Revelation, the 6th chapter, though it's a passage that may not be talking about the second coming of Christ, it's certainly talking about Christ coming in judgment. And it says that there will be people crying out to the mountains, "Fall on us, hide us. Who can stand the wrath of God?" And when we hear that voice, and we hear the voice of the archangel, and we hear the trump, and we know that this is the coming of Christ, there'll be some that wish to hide. There'll be some that wish that they could call upon the mountains and the mountains would fall on them and keep them from the events that's going to happen. But it can't be done. Think also, if you would, for a moment about the sights that we will see. We will see Jesus coming in the clouds. 1 Thessalonians 4 again in verse 16, "For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven." Or the passage in the book of Acts in the 1st chapter in verse 11, when Jesus ascended into heaven and the apostles stood gazing up, watching Him. And men of Galilee, angels spoke and said, "Why do you stand gazing up in heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will soon come in like manner as you saw Him go into heaven." And so as He went in the clouds, He said, so also He will come again in the clouds. And notice it's the same Jesus. It is the same one that we have read about and studied about and that people saw when He was here on earth. The same Jesus will come. We'll see Him as He is, John tells us in 1 John 3 and verse 2. He'll not have the body of flesh and blood or flesh and bones that He had before. As He ascended into heaven, or at some point He was suited for His new position at the right hand of God, or where He was returned to in glory. And so as He is, He tells us we will see Him on that day. And we know that His body and His appearing will be glorious. Paul writes in the book of Philippians in the 21st chapter, or the 3rd chapter in verse 21, and tells us that our vow bodies, that we look for Jesus, talking to the Christians, that we look for Jesus and eagerly await. And when He comes, our vow bodies will be turned and changed into His glorious body, or like His glorious body. And Paul writes in Titus 2 and verse 13, having said that the grace of God appears unto all of us, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and that we wait eagerly for His glorious appearing. You realize that when Jesus was here on this earth, that humanity suppressed the presence of His deity or the appearance of His deity, the glory of that deity. But we get a glimpse of it in the book of Matthew in the 17th chapter in verse 2 at the Transfiguration, when Peter and James and John are there with Him. And it says in chapter 17 and verse 2 that His face shined like the sun, and that His clothes were white like light. And so when He comes, we're going to see Jesus, and we're going to see Him in His glory. He will no doubt shine. We can't imagine what a glorious sight it will be. Every eye will see Him. Revelation 1 and verse 7 talks about Christ coming and says every eye will see Him. And you remember the discourse in Matthew, the 24th chapter, in the first part, as we talked about last week, where it talks about the destruction of Jerusalem. And Jesus said, when this starts taking place, they're going to say, lo, he's here, over here in the desert, or lo, he's over here in the inner courts. And he says, don't believe them. He says, but when I come, and he uses that word parousia, which means a personal coming. When I come, he said, it'll be like the lightning from the east and to the west. You look out on a clear day or a day that's cloudy and you see that lightning run across the sky. And he said, that's the way that it's going to be. It won't be something hidden. Did you know that there are people that teach that Christ has come again already, but it was a secret coming? That's not the way that his second coming is going to be. He says, every eye will see. Every eye will see this great glory that we've talked about. Every eye will witness it. Angels will appear in the cloud with Jesus. Listen, Matthew 25 and verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, all His holy angels with Him. Matthew the 16th chapter, verse 27. The Son of Man will come in the glory of His Father with His angels. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 7. When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. Over and over. Christ is going to come. The angels will be with Him. Let me share with you a passage that is not really talking about the second coming, but it's talking about the angels of God. And then you think about this in context of what we've said. Revelation 5 and verse 11 says, Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Can you imagine that? 10,000 times 10,000. Thousands of thousands of angels appearing in the sky with Jesus Christ. What a great and glorious day it will be. In some way, we know that Jesus will bring the saints with Him also, those that have gone on before. I know this because 1 Thessalonians 3 and 13 tells me that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. We may get a little more insight into this in the book of 1 Thessalonians in the 4th chapter. You remember that in verse 13, apparently they were concerned about those saints that had died. They were looking for the coming of Christ, and now some of their fellow saints had died, and so they were concerned about them and what's going to happen to them. And Jesus tells us, or Paul tells us, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. I have to tell you that I don't know that I fully understand the passage. I don't know whether he's talking about Jesus bringing the spirits of those who have passed on, and those spirits being in Hades, and that he's bringing them with Him so that they can unite with the bodies that will be resurrected. Or maybe it's just the appearance that it talks about, that it happens so fast that Christ appears, the angels are in the sky, and suddenly the dead rise, and it looks like they have come with Jesus. But in somehow, you see that picture. You see in Christ coming, you hear that voice sound, the voice of the archangel, you hear the trump, you look up, and the sky is bright and brilliant with the coming of Jesus Christ, and with all of His angels, and with saints that have gone before. Think about some of the events that will take place. And let me start by just saying that when Christ comes again, the resurrection will take place. The dead will be raised. Listen to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22 through verse 23. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But each one his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at His coming. Paul is saying, We're going to be raised from the dead. It's not going to happen right now, as Paul writes. He says, it happens in the proper order. Christ has already been risen. And then when Christ comes again, the rest of us will be raised, he says. Again, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, he says. A resurrection. Both of these passages that we've quoted are written to Christians, and they're focusing on those of us that are Christians, and tells us that we will be raised from the dead. But there are other passages that are not just focusing on Christians, but they tell us that all of us will be raised. We know that as Christians, when we're raised, that our bodies will be different. Listen to the book of 1 Corinthians in the 15th chapter where Paul is writing and talking about this. He says, so also is the resurrection of the body. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. And so when it comes forth, it won't look the same as it does now. It will be changed. It'll still be us, but our bodies will be changed. And particularly, as he talks about in these passages, the righteous will be fitted for their future. But the wicked will be raised too. Look at a couple of other passages. John 5 and verse 28 and 29 that we've already talked about. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming. All who are in the grave will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to a resurrection of life. Those that have done evil into a resurrection of condemnation. Notice, all who are in the grave will hear his voice. Not just the righteous, but all who are there. Those that have done good and those that have done evil. All will be raised. Even though 1 Corinthians and 1 Thessalonians are writing to Christians and focusing on Christians and talking about Christians, still, he tells us there is a resurrection, one resurrection, and at that resurrection that everyone will be raised. When Paul stood before some of the counselors and people in the book of Acts, in the 24th chapter, he told them, he said, I'm being judged for the hope, a hope that they allow, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. Notice, there will be a resurrection of the dead. He says, both of the righteous or the just and the unjust. Everybody will be raised when Christ comes again. In one resurrection, at one hour, one time. And at the same time that we see the resurrection, those who happen to be alive when Christ comes again, they'll be changed. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and verse 52 says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed, talking to Christians again, particularly. That in no wise will we be left behind if Christ comes while we're alive. The dead will be raised, and we will be caught up with him, and we'll be changed into the same kind of body that those people have. And he talks about it again in 1 Thessalonians 4, and verse 16, that the Lord himself shall descend with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. Then it says, and the dead in Christ shall be raised first. Not first in connection to the wicked, but first. And then we that are alive shall be caught up with him in the air. The first being those that are being dead and raised. And then we that are alive. But Paul said in 1 Corinthians, it's in a moment of a twinkling of an eye. Not any time for us to much really distinguish and say, hey, look, those people are changing. I wish I could change. It'll just be instantaneously. They'll be caught up. They'll be changed. And we too, just immediately, will be changed. When Christ comes, cemeteries will be emptied. The dead will rise. Not only that, but this world will end. Take a good look around you. The building. Think about the car you came in. Think about your house that you left. Think about the bank where your money is. All of it will be gone. Second Peter, the 3rd chapter and verse 10, Peter says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the element will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are therein will be burned up. An intense heat that can melt this world as though it was a ball of wax. And all the works therein burned up. Right after this, in verse 11, he would say, all of these things will be dissolved. And right after that, he says, the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Have you ever seen a ball of wax, and maybe it's got a candle in it, and it just melts and just runs down the side and drips off? Just think of this world becoming so hot that it just instantly burst into fire. And it just melts as if though it was a candle, and just this whole world just melts into oblivion. It's just gone. That's what's happened when Christ comes again. Can we just have a little forethought and ask, what good are the big houses or the big cars or the big bank accounts in that day? Why put our trust in those things? They're not going to last. Far better for us to put our trust in Jesus and make sure we're doing Jesus' word so that when He comes, we're recognized as one of the saints. There'll be judgment day. Acts the 17th chapter and verse 31, when Paul was talking to the people at Mars Hill, as he got down to the end of the recorded sermon, he says, He has appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained. He will judge the world, he says. And he says He'll do it by the man He ordained, and He tells us that that man is the one He raised from the dead, talking about Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Paul writes to Timothy and says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Paul just tells us in Acts 17, there is going to be a day of judgment. But here in the book of 1 Timothy, in the 4th chapter, Paul narrows it down and tells us exactly when it is. It is when Christ appears again. That's when the judgment will be. You may remember that in the book of Matthew, in the 25th chapter, in about verse 32, Matthew records for us how the Son of Man will come with His angels, and there He will gather all nations before Him, and He will begin to separate them, some on the right hand and some on the left hand. Those that are doing good on the right, and those that are being bad on the left. But judgment has come. We know from other scriptures that this judgment will judge us according to all of the deeds that we have done in this body. We know that according to the book of Ecclesiastes in the 12th chapter and verse 14, that even the very secret things will be included in this judgment. When that sound happens, when you hear that trumpet sound, when you hear the voice of God or the voice of Jesus, when you hear the archangel, when you see all the angels in heaven, and you see the dead arising, then pretty soon after that, you're going to stand before God, and you're going to give an account of your life, the deeds that you've done, and even the secret things, if they're not forgiven, will be accounted for on that occasion. For us, eternity begins right then. I say for us because, in a sense, eternity is already in existence. The psalmist said of God, He stretches from everlasting to everlasting, meaning that God never was not. He just has always been as far back and beyond what we can comprehend, He was. And He stretches that way in the future as far. But you and I had a specific beginning. We were born, and God placed in us a spirit. And whether we are alive or whether we die, when Christ comes again, we are to be changed or raised from the dead and changed. And then we will stand before God in judgment, and He will judge us according to our deeds. And we will either hear something like, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Or we'll hear something like, "Enter you into the joys of your Lord." That great picture we mentioned in Matthew, the 25th chapter, when all of the nations are gathered before Him and He divides them on the right hand and on the left hand, He ends that by saying, "And these," talking about the evil ones, "shall go away into everlasting punishment." You and I know that that's hell that He's talking about. And then He says, "But the righteous into eternal life." When that trumpet sounds, when the voice is heard, when the sky is full of the angels, and when we're raised from the dead, and when we're judged, it'll be too late to change things then. We meet the Lord as we were when He came or when we died. And when we stand before God and hear Him say either, "Well done," or if He should say unto us, "Depart from me, I never knew you," perhaps that'll be the last glimpse that some people ever get of God as they go into everlasting punishment and into everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7 through 9. And Paul is very specific in 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, in verse 7 through 9, in saying that when Christ comes again, that He will reveal His wrath upon those who know not God and those who obey not the gospel. Eternity will have begun for us. I want you to think for a moment with me. I'll give you even the permission to close your eyes if you'll open them when I tell you to open them. But I want you to think for a moment. I want you for a moment to think about something that is just a normal part of your life. Maybe you're rising up in the morning, getting kids ready, getting breakfast ready, getting ready to go to work. Maybe you are at work. Whatever job you do, you're at work. Maybe you're just home with the family at night. Just picture yourself doing something that you always do. And now suddenly there's a loud voice. And there's a trumpet sound. And suddenly you realize this is the day that Christ is coming again. And whereas that tract was written about George Jones when Christ came again, this will be your story. You will hear the voice. You'll hear the trumpet sound. You'll look up and you'll see the angels filling heaven. And you'll see Jesus. And what are you feeling? What's your thoughts? And as you see the dead arise, and suddenly there's a gathering of all humanity before the throne of God, and suddenly your name is called. Picture your name being called. And know that when you stand up, you've got to tell what you have done with your life and why you didn't accept Christ or why you did accept Christ. And based upon that, Jesus will say something to you. Our story reads the same up to that point. We're all doing whatever we normally do. Christ shouts, the voice of the archangel shouts, the trumpet sounds, we all hear it. We all see Christ, we all see the angels. We all see people perhaps being raised from the dead, or we're experiencing that resurrection ourselves. We all stand before God in judgment. But then the story changes. Some will have eternal life in heaven, and some will burn eternally in hell. And I suspect, though there be a multitude with you, if you're those that burn in hell, that you will feel alone on that day, and that you will find no comfort in the multitude of people that are about. May I remind you that Jesus will come again, that He could come today, and that the only way that we can really be ready is by putting Him on in Christ, by living the Christian life, and standing ready every day, including this day. It's coming. It's just a matter of when. And are you ready? If we can help you get ready this day, we'd invite you to come as together we stand and sing.